let's take our Bibles and look in Jeremiah chapter 19 as we continue our reading commentary through the prophet Jeremiah. And as we've seen, what he had to declare, the message in his day was the word from the Lord, one of condemnation, and yet through it all, one of promise for those that were his elect, the remnant. Here in verse 1, we find the Lord preparing Jeremiah to go and declare again this message to Jerusalem and to the leaders, the religious leaders of that city, of the impending judgment. It says, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests. These were the religious leaders. Go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. So here we find the Lord giving him the word even as he went where the Lord had so purposed. When it speaks here of an earthen bottle, it's like a flask, about 8 to 10 inches tall perhaps, which would be put water for drinking. And in contrast, in the previous chapter where we saw him to go to the potter's house, here he simply told Jeremiah to take a clay bottle, an earthen flask, and to use it for a spiritual lesson before some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests. And Jeremiah here, the difference is, having come from the potter's house back in the last chapter, the Lord had showed him how that clay that had been molded and shaped and once baked was now nothing but hardened and breakable. And so there was no alternative other than to destroy it. And so here it is with this, again, potter's earthen bottle, one that was already shaped and formed. And yet, as we're going to see, the Lord instructed Jeremiah to break it before the people. But this was all to take place in verse 2 in this valley of the son of Hinnom. We were studying through the kings. We looked at what this was. This was a place near the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, actually south of it, and a horrible place. It was basically a garbage dump with continual smoldering fires as the garbage burned, and had been previously a place of child sacrifice. This was the place where we saw in Jeremiah chapter 7, south of Jerusalem, where there was the worship of Molech, where people brought their firstborn. Now under Josiah, one of those last good kings, we saw that he stopped this sort of practice. But here we are, just a few years later, back again, being reinstituted, where people would literally come and offer their firstborn child, burn them in fire, with the hope of receiving some kind of blessing before the Lord. Ahab the king, we saw, was one that had done that with his firstborn, hoping for some blessing. And so it was at this gate, called here the potsherd gate. It was the east gate. That's, if you look at in the temple gate, that was called the potsherd gate. And in Nehemiah, probably identified with the dung gate, because it was out that gate that they took the rubbish from the sacrifices of the animals and other things and threw it in this place that was a continual burning. And also was known as the potsherd gate because the broken vessels from potters that they destroyed, they had been dumped as well. This was a dumping ground, basically, where the Lord told Jeremiah to go and stand. And so in verse 3, say to them, hear ye the word of the Lord. Jeremiah didn't say, hear my word. He said, hear ye the word of the Lord. And again, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, who were down, when Jeremiah's prophesying here, down to the final kings of Judah, none of them were good. It's like the 10 tribes of the north. These kings had all abandoned the Lord and were leading the people in idolatry. But he addresses to the kings and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth his ears shall tingle. It's like today when you talk about God creating evil. People are aghast. I don't know, God wouldn't do that. He's a God of love. That's all people know. They don't know a God of wrath. But here, the Lord tells Jeremiah that in spite of everything that has gone before, because the Lord had brought times of judgment upon the people of Israel, but they were still in the land. And what he's describing here now is something that he said would make people's ears tingle. It would be such a catastrophe, which we know now looking back what it was. It was not only the destruction of Jerusalem, but it was the destruction of the temple. And the ears tingling is the way that the Lord purposed that this should be described. And the reason, verses 4 and 5, for this catastrophe, because they have forsaken me. Get the idea what it is that God and his wrath is against? Have estranged this place and have burnt incense in it unto other gods. How important is it to worship God as he has declared? You can go all the way back to the fall. Really, the fall came into this world, Adam and Eve, through false worship. They began to lust after that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it plunged the whole world into condemnation. And here it is again. They've forsaken me, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Innocent ones. There's a referral again to the burning of their sons with fire, which God had said should not be a practice that they should do. There's only one offering that God ever ordained for blessing for his people, and that was his own son. He didn't even require Abraham to offer up Isaac. He told him to, but in the end, he provided a ram because that one offering, which God had purposed for blessing and salvation of his people, was that of his son. But here they were, really, when you look at it, human sacrifice. And verse 5 says, they have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Talk about God's eternal purpose. Never was there ever a time where God said that any should ever offer a human sacrifice because that was reserved for his son who would come. And so now in verses 6 through 9, we have a description of the catastrophe that awaits the tribe of Judah, Benjamin. They didn't even learn from the going into captivity of the 10 tribes of the north. 100 years later, here they are. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. And as we've seen at the time this was written, Jeremiah prophesied, it was probably about 25 years off. So it wasn't something immediate, and this is how people are, because they don't see the immediate coming forth of what the Lord had declared. They become hardened in their ways. They go on their way as if nothing was. But the Lord says, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. The council there means the false prophets that were going around saying peace, peace, when there was no peace. And I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of them that seek their lives. And their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. You see why this would cause tingling of the ears. Such would be the siege which Nebuchadnezzar would put upon that city, that there would be nothing left. They would be selling their children for meat. One would determine to eat their child today, and tomorrow would be the other's child. Even of their aged that were ready to die anyway, they would serve them up to eat them for hunger. They shall eat everyone the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies, they that seek their lives, shall straighten them. The word straight means he's so pressing, there'll be nowhere to turn, nowhere to move. And it says here, I will no more call that place Tophet. This place shall no more be called Tophet. Tophet is another name for the Valley of Hinnom. Those are two names that were used, and both were associated with the pagan practice of child sacrifice. Tophet derives its meaning from a Hebrew word which means fireplace. That's what Tophet means. And in this place it shall no more be called Tophet, or even the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Here's where God repeats the promise. It was first recorded back there in Jeremiah 7:32, that he would answer the idolatry of Judah, and that outrageous practice of human sacrifice with devastating judgment. And there would be grotesque slaughter in that valley, normally reserved for rubbish. But here, it describes it as we read it. Bodies would be remain unburied. And it would be carnivorous birds and rodents, really, that would come and eat the cadavers. This was just unspeakable horror, if you stop and think about it, for the Hebrews, the Jews. Recently this week, I heard with the apartments that went down there in Florida that there are a number of Jewish people that were in those apartments, and that's one of their consternations. They haven't been able to find the bodies, and according to Jewish law, even today, they're supposed to be buried within 24 hours. You suppose the Lord had anything to do with that? He purposes all things, but people are, they're just as unbelieving today as back in, God wouldn't do that. His purpose to make void men's counsel. And that's what Jeremiah was to do symbolically. As we read there in the following verses, in verse 10 and 11, to take and break the bottle. Here's this earthen bottle he's got, only about 8 to 10 inches tall, but now he's to take and break the bottle on the side of the men that go with thee. And verse 11, and shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel, that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. You can go back and read the history of the destruction of Jerusalem. Those that were not taken in captivity that thought that somehow, there's three times when Nebuchadnezzar would come down to Jerusalem, and the final time would be when the city would be destroyed and the temple destroyed. And so people that survived the first two were hardened. They thought, you know, we've escaped judgment. But the Lord said, no, what's to come, there will be no place even to bury the dead. So you can see God's disdain. People say, well, how could God do that? A holy God, a just God. That unless you want to see something of God's holiness, look what he did to his son. He spared not his son, but delivered him up, that he might freely give salvation to those that he purposed to save. It's of no consequence for God to destroy a sinner, punish a sinner. His holiness is such, but people don't know such a God. And there's the meaning of the broken flask there in verses 12 and 13. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even to make this city as Tophet. At this point, Tophet was a place outside the city, but the Lord said, I'll make the whole thing as Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah, all the palaces shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the hosts of heaven. Everything was defiled, and they poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Such was the disdain of God against this form of idolatry. This place called Tophet is what in the New Testament continued to burn, and that the Lord, the term that was used was Gehenna. It was translated also for hell. It's a picture of condemnation, even in the first century, continued to burn. Smoke going up without ceasing. And then verses 14 and 15, the final message. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, delivered the message that the Lord gave him to deliver. The Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city, upon all her towns, all the evil that I have pronounced against it. Once the Lord has determined judgment and condemnation, there's no changing, no turning back. And the reason is because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. Notice he was brought back to stand in the court of the Lord's house and declare this. How precious was that house to the Lord, and yet they considered it as nothing, referring rather to worship the gods of their own making. How precious is Christ? That's who the house the Lord represents. And so therefore the Lord brought that judgment and that condemnation. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word, how sobering it is, and our own hearts be made to know the urgency of worshiping you in one way, as you've declared here in your word through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that even now, any idol that we have in our heart and thinking that somehow there's a blessing that you give or bring in some other way than through the sacrifice of your Son, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, tear down that idol. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see the glory of your blessed Son.